Let me ask you a question. How is your sleep hygiene? Do you actually take account of the time you go to sleep? Do you actually take account of what's happening before you sleep? The minutes, seconds, hours before you go to sleep? Do you feel refreshed when you wake up? Or do you kind of feel like you're constantly chasing, trying to make up on lost sleep? Or are you one of those people that just wake up in the middle of the night and you're just like, well, I don't know, I'm wide awake at 3 a.m. in the morning? Or maybe you're one of those people, you're saying, Kosi, I don't know how, but I'm functioning on 4 hours of sleep. Well, just this past Friday, the 14th of March, was what is seen as World Sleep Day. And it was just a moment to be able to kind of say, hey, let's take note of what's happening right now in the world of sleep. And joining me in studio this afternoon is JD Ace, who is a sleep therapist. He's going to be talking to us about how important it is that we actually have good sleep hygiene. And he's from Arkle Sleep Clinic. JD, thank you so much for joining us. Welcome to Drive 3 to 6.
Thank you, Nkosi. How are you?
I'm fantastic. Kind of hanging on because I did not sleep enough hours last night. I slept for 4 hours. How many hours do you sleep a night?
I sleep about between 6 and 8, depending on how life happens. Jeez. You know, so life happens. But I usually sleep between 6 and 8 hours.
So if you sleep in 6 hours, then you're just like, oh man, I didn't sleep enough.
Yeah, I don't. It's ironic. I don't spend too much time on thinking about how much I sleep. As long as I feel refreshed the next day, and because that's what sleep is all about. Sleep allow us to function the next day.
Yeah,
you know, we have responsibilities during the day that we have to adhere to. You know, we stewards. God gave us a responsibility to sleep. We're stewards of our bodies. We have to keep it healthy.
Mm.
So
you're just making sure that you're refreshed by the next day. Well, let's maybe double click into it. You know, for a lot of us, you might be thinking sleeping is just this moment in time that we kind of all have to go through, and it's, our body just resets itself. It's important, not important. Everybody says 8 hours, but it's not always practical. We're living in this fast-paced world. Maybe you can unpack for us, how does sleep actually work? Like, what actually happens in the body that makes it so pivotal?
So it's a two-part question. Okay, everybody talks about REM sleep and deep sleep and all of that's important. That happens when we are asleep. We spend time in important sleep phases and sleep stages, which are important. That happens automatically. We don't have any control over it unless we have a sleep illness. Okay, so sleep is mostly a neurological issue. So we've got two types of sleep structures. We've got what we call a homeostatic sleep drive. That is what we call our sleep pressure. That is what makes us sleepy during the night. And that happens, I can carry on for about an hour just on this topic. Hmm. But we have our own natural sleeping pill in our brains. We call it adenosine. The longer we are awake, the bigger the pressure for sleep becomes. Okay. Even the insomniacs out there, okay, the longer you are awake, the bigger the sleep pressure becomes. So that puts us to sleep. When we are in sleep, so we are diurnal species. In other words, we were made to sleep at night and be awake during the day. And that is being driven by what we call our circadian rhythm. Hmm. So that's basically how sleep works. It's a multifunctional process. We have partial control over it. We cannot push it. We cannot try it. It just happens. So for the people who struggles to sleep, don't try. The harder you try, the less you will sleep, if it makes sense.
I'm listening to you talk about all these different elements that happen in the body when we try to sleep in terms of leading to the sleeping. And I'm just like, man, this sounds serious. It's almost like listening to someone who's a an engineer or mechanic on cars. And he's saying, so if your rev count and you're pressing on the accelerator, it pushes this and the pistons are firing. And I'm just thinking, this sounds serious. I'm getting too technical.
I'm sorry.
No, that's fine. Yeah. My point being, it sounds serious. What's the impact that sleep has on our body if it's not taken care of, if I have poor sleep hygiene?
So sleep is important. Even if you go look in, you know, God made the earth in 6 days and he rested on the seventh day. So if you just take that into account, we need to sleep. You know, sleep is important to restore our bodies. And I need to make an important point. Resting is not sleeping. Okay, to go lie down in the afternoon is not sleeping. Sleep is a very active process. So it's important to realize that we take care of our bodies, we take care of our brains. And later on, if you allow me, we can talk about children and sleep, how much sleep is important for children. Remember, basic rule is the younger we are, the more sleep we need. Mm. The older we are, the less sleep we need, because we're not growing anymore. Mm. So sleep helps us to protect us, takes care of us, and it heals us, our brains and our bodies and our mental health. Mm. That's basically why it's important.
And I mean, I've heard several times where it's been mentioned of how, excuse me, if you're not sleeping well, it will affect, especially when I was in school, if you don't sleep well because you're spending the whole night trying to cram, come the exam, you might crash because your brain is not working at optimal a position because you just haven't slept as well. Mm. But I do understand that there are, and I think that's where a lot of us don't know about this, there are certain sleep illnesses that many of us don't know about. What are some of the more common ones that you come across? Because I think someone might be thinking, gee whiz, I didn't realize that this could be something that exists.
Mm. So there are basically three illnesses that are head and shoulders above the rest. The first most common sleep illness in the world is something that we call insomnia, or inability to sleep, or struggle to sleep, to fall asleep and stay asleep. That's the largest sleep illness in the world. And I can carry on for that for about 2 days nonstop, talk about that. And then the other one is what we call sleep breathing disorders. And those are our snorers, our sleep apneas, upper airway resistance syndromes. And then we get a neurological condition that we call restless leg syndrome. Restless legs is usually, not always, but usually due to an iron deficiency. And it usually happens when we tend to feel an irritated pins and needle type of sensation in our legs when we are awake, okay? Not when we are asleep. It happens when we are awake. And that causes us to move our legs, and then it feels better. Hmm. You know, it's quite common, but not as common as sleep apnea and insomnia related issues.
Yes, yeah. And I mean, for a number of people, I've met some people where they say they struggle with apnea or they struggle with insomnia. And I guess I kind of want to lead into, okay, what should I be saying is good sleep hygiene? Is it 8 hours still? Are there certain things that I should be taking into account before I sleep, after I sleep, during the time that I'm sleeping, the room I'm in? I know there's some people that have white noise that plays around just while they're sleeping. What are some of the things that I could implement tonight that would already make a difference in terms of my sleep hygiene?
For the insomniacs, and this is a big problem, there's insomniacs don't try to sleep. Okay. The other thing that is a misconception is people think that the more time we spend in bed, the better we sleep, which is absolutely not true. Mm. Okay. Only sleep as much as the sleep you can build, if you can understand what I'm saying.
Sure.
You know, this see it like eating. You can only eat so much. You can also only sleep so much. Mm. Okay, so to increase that sleep quality is to, number one, you can create about an hour before your bedtime. Create a what we call a wind down time. Okay, so dark, make it dark for melatonin release. Take a hot shower before, an hour before bedtime. That can also aid in releasing melatonin to help us to sleep better, not to allow us to fall asleep. It will just increase our sleep quality. A dark room, cool, not too hot, not too cold, like Goldilocks, you know, it's just right, you know. between 20 and 22 degrees centigrade. No noise, quiet as much as possible. It's all about anxiety and stress. Mm. We need to calm down. We can pray. Praying is very good to allow us to become peaceful so that sleep can happen to us. Mm. Sleep will come. We cannot chase sleep.
Is this why I've fallen into this, where I fall asleep while I'm praying?
Yeah. It's because of your parasympathetic nervous system that's kicking in. When we are awake and you broadcasting and, you know, we're living our lives, our sympathetic nervous system is activated, you know. When we are trying to sleep, we are anxious, we are stressed, and that is our sympathetic nervous system. And that will block our sleep, if I can put it that way.
Mm.
So the more peaceful, the more we pray, you know, the more peaceful we are, sleep can happen easier to us.
Yeah.
See how you feel the next morning. If you feel sleepy after about 6 to 8 hours of sleep, if you still feel sleepy, especially after 9 hours of sleep for adults, if you still feel sleepy, then it's probably... you know, that we have to look into it.
Yeah. JD, this is so informative. I mean, I'm so sad I'm running out of time. I'm so sad I'm running out of time, because this is actually so informative, because I think a lot of us don't know about these things. I mean, the idea of taking a warm shower, changing the color, just the brightness of the room, something that's very important. And I think this is like going to touch on a number of nerves and a number of toes. And I think we'll wrap up on this one is... the use of computers, cell phones, TVs, moments before sleeping. I mean, I was confessing now. I love falling asleep on the couch. It's the most incredible thing. I think I have the best sleep on the couch after falling asleep while watching something. Sometimes you get into bed and you're scrolling before you sleep. I know they constantly say stay away from the blue light just in general. How good / bad or medium is it towards our sleep, doing it before we sleep?
It is still a big talking point, even between us scientists. You know, it's if it calms you down, it's okay. Don't use it as a sleeping pill. Mm. Okay? Sleep happens automatically. So usually... blue light is bad for melatonin release. The reason why you fall asleep is because of your homeostatic sleep, is because you become sleepy. But once you are asleep, that can affect your sleep staging. The times you spend in certain important sleep phases, deep sleep, REM sleep. So it definitely has a negative impact on that. So you may feel refreshed the next day, but over 20 years, Don't be surprised if there's an Alzheimer's or dementia or something, you know, carcinoma or something. So we need to protect our brains, and melatonin, blue light is bad for that.
Yeah. Oh,
but it's still a big talking point.
I'm sure, and especially because it's progressing so quickly and people's exposure.
You know, we're running out of time, but...
Here's what I'm going to do, JD. I mean, I'd love to know more. I mean, we haven't even spoken about children and their sleep patterns, because that is also, like you're rightfully saying, the younger you are, the more sleep you need, and how pivotal it is for parents to be able to know how do they regulate that. The routine, does that actually help in terms of them getting good quality sleep, etc., etc.? Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to invite you to come back again. We're going to come unpack this in a second part of this conversation, because I think I'd love for us to do the right thing in stewarding the body that we have, even as it includes sleep. With our interaction with the food that we're eating, the being active, the allowing things to change before going to sleep, like you're rightfully saying, winding down before bedtime, and ensuring that the environment is one that is conducive to good, healthy sleep. And I think in order for us to do that well, we need to talk a little bit more.
We can.
So I'm going to invite you again, if that's okay
with
you.
Yeah, we can even take some listeners' questions.
Perfect.
If you are.
Yes, yes, absolutely. I think that would be incredible. JD, thank you so much for starting this conversation. I think there's some people that's already starting to think, okay, I'm taking a shower tonight before going to bed. So thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
JD Ace from Arkell Sleep Clinic chatting to us this afternoon about the importance of just getting good sleep, sleep hygiene, something that we often take for granted, something that we often don't fully understand. And I think it's something that we need to sit in and unpack as often as what we possibly can. So we're going to get JD back into studio. We're going to unpack this all the more and get into some of your questions. Maybe you're saying, JD, what happens if I just wake up at 3 a.m. and I don't know what to do? Do I toss and turn? Do I go drink chamomile? What do I do? We'll unpack that in the next conversation when it comes back.